And in our study of Jeremiah, Jeremiah is in the place where he's just got out of being beaten up by the head of the temple guard, the chief priest, and being thrown in jail, as it were, and been released. And that's his reaction to that. So, as we did that in chapter 20 of Jeremiah, so we need to go back here to come forward. And in the light of Psalm 78, looking at the wilderness experience and giving a history lesson of what happened and how it happened and why it happened. Now, so in Psalm 78, you recall, in verse 17, in the wilderness, and they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. So everything God did, provide water, food, there was always the murmuring and the mumbling, and then doing it all over again. So they complained more and more. Verse 18, they tempted, put God to the test in their heart by asking meat of food for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Can God, is God able to do that? Is God, and God has been doing it. God did it for 40 years, as it were. Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can he, after doing that, can he give bread also? Can he provide flesh for his people, each step up more and more? And it wasn't no matter what he did, they would have gone another step further because there was nothing going to satisfy them. And verse 21, therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth, so a fire was kindled against Jacob. And anger also came up against Israel, because, verse 22, they believed not in God and trusted not in his salvation. So they didn't believe. Now, sliding over to verse 35, they remembered that God was their rock and high God their redeemer. Nevertheless, they had to pay attention to God all the way down the road, because out in the wilderness, in the desert, apart from the cloud of fire, cloud by day, fire by night, the water, the food, it's important, they'd all be dead. So they had to look to God. But in their heart, verse 36, nevertheless, they did flatter him with their mouth, and they lied unto him with their tongue. So they spoke good things about him. They tried to show that they were honoring him, but they flattered him. In verse 36, they flattered him with their mouth. Now the word flattered, the verb, is to be persuaded. They allowed God to persuade them. They persuaded, to be intensive. They persuaded, to be enticed, to open wide, to be able to receive something, to open up and close, you can't get it in. Open it up wide so it can come in. Open wide so you can get in. Wow. So persuaded, to be enticed, to bring it in. They flattered God with their mouth. They said, God, here we are, do and be to us all that you are. But that was only with their mouth, with their heart, it was far from them. So now, sliding down, if I may, and verse 37, for their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. But he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned he his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. So they would have never got out of the wilderness, not one of them. Verse 39. For he remembered, God remembered, that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. He was very, very conscious, because he made them, very conscious that they were of the dust of the ground, as the flower of the field, as the grass, here today, gone tomorrow. He knew that. Humans need to know that. That's who we are. Now, they did not realize that. They didn't want to know that. In fact, verse 40, how often did they provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God, put him to the test, and limited the Holy One of Israel. And remember, limited means to mock out ahead of time, to mock out. They said, God, not God, do what you need to do according to your goodwill and wisdom. You can do this far, no further, to mock out. God, we want you to be God up to this point, no further. They limited God. They told God, they had in their mind what should be and how it should be, and they limited God. That's what they did. Now, having said that, that's what they did. So Israel limited God. They were open, but they're open to receive God's will and word and work, but it was all phony baloney. It was a hypocrite. That wasn't real. And they were persuaded for that. Now hang on to that, because that's Israel. Israel is a nation. Now, and Israel is a nation, this problem in the wilderness follows along with the same, it's all the human heart being the same. Over to chapter 5 in Jeremiah. Jeremiah, and in chapter 5. And you will notice, remember, in the light of the context now, I'll pick it up in verse 30. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. What was this awful thing God said, that God said? The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their means for their own end and for their own purposes. And my people love to have it so. They love it so. It's all crooked, prophets, priest system. And they love it. That's a horrible thing, said God. They love the system. They love it. So remember now, hang on to that. They loved it. And Jeremiah, that's you're in the middle of that. You're right in the thick of it. That's right. One other place, to Ezekiel, at the same period of history, as it were. And Ezekiel is over in Babylon, remember, was taken captive in 597. And in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 31, and they come unto thee, as the, this is to Ezekiel, God said, they come to you. And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. Verse 32. Lo, thou art also unto them a very lovely song, as one that hath a pleasant voice, and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. They don't want to, they all veneer, facade. There's no reality to it. Everything looks good, yay! It isn't real. It isn't real at all. Now, that's Jeremiah. That's the, you got the Israel, and then all the way continues to Jeremiah and Ezekiel. Now, having said that little bit, over if you would please, in your Bible, over to Jeremiah and chapter 20. Now remember, Judah and Jerusalem have been responding to Jeremiah, the king Josiah and Jehoiakim, and etc. And they've been doing that now for 20 plus or minus years. And Jeremiah, it keeps getting worse. Josiah, a good king, couldn't change them after a very bad king. And now Jehoiakim, oh, it's going to go downhill. But God, you were persistent long before being angry. You certainly gave space to fix things. Now, so here in Jeremiah chapter 20, picking up if I can. So Jeremiah has been going at it. He's in the thick of it. He's right between everything. He's in the middle of it. Now, if you were doing that work, remember now, they have the part of it that they applaud and listen. They have the other half of the coin where they beat him up and want to kill him. So you got two sides. The good side, as it were, they want to hear him, but they're never going to do anything. They're never going to believe a word of it. They aren't going to change their life. And on the other side, they're going to kill him. Now, if you did that year after year after year after year, and the people never changed, only got worse and worser, as it were. Wow. Nothing was fixed. Now, so here we are, and we got in, remember in chapter 20, we saw Paschor up there, up in chapter 20, verse 3, etc. And we looked at Paschor, and Paschor was the chief priest who was in charge of the security and good order in the temple, and that was his assignment at the time. He's going to end up going into captivity, 597. God gets rid of him. But in the process, he's the one that beat up on Jeremiah. He's the one that put Jeremiah in the stocks with his neck and his hands and his feet, put him in the stocks overnight. He did that. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, therefore, verse 7, now Jeremiah is going to react, as we shared. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. God, you've deceived me, and I was deceived. Now, having said that, the word deceived is the same verb as flattered, to be persuaded. Be persuaded. Now, Israel flattered God that they would hear them, that they would hear and receive, but they never did. Now, Jeremiah, in response, all by his lonesome there, and remember now, he's there alone, and he hasn't been treated good by anyone. His own family wants to kill him. So nothing has been good for him at all. And he's all alone, and he's responding. And now you got to remember that all of that wears on a person week in and week out, week in and week out, on the same thing. I'm trying to think of something critical. If you were in a hospital setting, and a hospital setting was there, and you had an emergency, and when you have an emergency of a big time order, then I've seen it, you've been at, up in Hartford, and that, where they're all lined up in the corridors and everything, trying to run between them to help them. They don't know what to do, you know, it can be so many places at once, and doing that. Now, that's very stressful. You agree? What happens if it happened every day for a year? How would you be at the end of a year under those conditions? Not very good. You would never last a year. That's what Jeremiah is in, over and over and over. Now, you've got to understand that, because God's going to give us a wonderful understanding of his word. So when you read his word, you're going to have Jeremiah is going to put that right up front for us now. But right now, he's deceived. God has deceived him, persuaded him, showed him, moved him, and in the process, when he was deceived by God, verse 7, thou hast deceived me, O Lord. I was deceived. I became deceived. I became persuaded. You persuaded me, and I was persuaded. For what? for where I am. Now, and Jeremiah is saying, "What, God, I'm in this middle of this because of you. You persuaded me, and I was persuaded." Ah, now, having said that little bit, now, Jeremiah is having trouble with the whole thing, understandably. So now, Jeremiah, what do you need to remember? So, now, in the process of having your own Our Little Lives, think about it, if you would, isn't it very common to have people think, and they're concerned personally, how they are treated, how they're treated at work, school, family, friends, enemies? Isn't it common? We're treated. How are we being treated? And we respond to how we're being treated, right? And we either do what? We retreat, back, or we retaliate, come forward. We do one or the other. You know, we retreat or go retaliate, do something. We're concerned how I'm being treated. And people, it's a part of our world. It's part of us, humans. And it catches us. It grabs us. And Jeremiah is looking how I'm being treated. Look at how it's been, how I'm being treated by my own people, my own family. And God, you persuaded me to get into this thing. Now, some help. Over, if you would please, to Jeremiah and in chapter 1. Because Jeremiah needs to be reminded, as all of us do. Jeremiah chapter 1. Now, just in case I forget or lose it, if you came to know the Lord as your Savior, if you did, when you did, did you not come as a bankrupt, broken sinner? You had nothing to give. That's the way you get saved, isn't it? What do you do to get saved? You believe on the Lord, you give yourself, you have nothing, zero. And you come in total bankruptcy with no righteousness. You don't deserve any of the love or anything. You got nothing. Now, we forget that, don't we? Because then we get along and we feel we can barter with God and negotiate and do things and that God owes us. And we forgot how we got saved. We forgot that we came in with zero and we had no words and no debate and no dialogue, zero. We forget that, don't we? I'm saying it for you and for myself. We certainly forget it. You don't have to go one day to show it up. We forget it. Now, so here's Jeremiah, and we forget. Jeremiah forgot. When we forget that God took us from nothing and gave us everything, His bankruptcy for our riches. And He did that for us. We forget that. And then we get all kinds of arguments and everything else about everything and anything. And that isn't how you got saved. You came in with nothing. And man, you just fell on the ground in your heart, I hope, and received the Lord as your Savior. And thank God He could save you. And you had nothing. There's no dialogue then. No debate then. Nope. That's how you used to get saved. When you were saved, people. Today it's a whole other world. Now, here's Jeremiah chapter 1. And picking up, and Jeremiah forgot. In verse 6, then said I, Our Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now he recognized he was nothing. Now God, you persuaded him. Jeremiah said, You persuaded me. You enticed me. You persuaded me. Well, how did you persuade him? How were you persuaded, Jeremiah? I was a child. I couldn't say anything. How could I possibly fulfill or even come close to being the person that God would have me be? Verse 7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces. Why not? For I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. And you're going to root up and you're going to do all kinds of things in all the Israel. And you're going to speak of other nations. And you're going to do them. And I'm with you. I can't speak. I'll help your mouth. I'll even give you the words. Sliding over to, and I'll protect you. Bob, you don't be afraid. And I'm going to tell you ahead of time. You aren't going into a picnic. You aren't going into a peaceful, wonderful 40 years like King Solomon. You're not doing that at all. And thus, if I can, in verse 17, thou therefore, 1 and 17, gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them. They're going to say, for 20 years plus you've been saying it. And it hasn't gone away. All they did is give you a lot of baloney all kinds of ways. Now therefore, gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces. They certainly aren't going to look favorably at you, Jeremiah, lest I confound thee before them. So you make sure you're looking to me and honoring me. Don't you get depressed, discouraged, and defeated, depleted, looking at people. And that's what Jeremiah is doing. God, you persuaded me to get into this. And I've been persuaded. And rightly so. Anyone would be. God, you made everything possible. The speaking, the words, the power, the protection, the provision. There's nothing missing. What a job. What a job to take. There's nothing missing. Absolutely, you're invincible. Wow. Verse 18. For behold, I have made thee at this day a defense city, an iron pillar, brazen walls, bronze walls, against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes of Judah, against the priests of Judah, against the people of the land. Is there anyone left? No. That's everybody. Verse 19. And they shall fight against thee. So when you start out, Jeremiah, you're going to know the whole thing is going to get, it starts with in the battle, and it's good. You like going in a boxing ring we used the other day. You go into the ring, the opponent isn't interested in negotiating, and you're going to go in, and round bell rings, round one, and you get through that a little bit. But come the 15th round, man, it's getting there. And the bell keeps ringing, and when do I get out of the ring to rest? When can I sit down and not have to fight? You can't, Jeremiah, until I'm finished. So you got to stay there. And Jeremiah said, wow, you brought me into this, God. That's correct. And Jeremiah has forgotten. That's what it was all about. God was going to make him a champion. God's champion in the ring. And each king would come along, each priest, each prophet, and they would do and say, and Jeremiah would go through it, and then they'd die and get out of the way, and the next one would come, and Jeremiah's still in the ring, going after the next one and the next one. Wow. Wow. God said, listen, we're going to be able to do it. A champion. Champion. You run the race, and then you got to run. The bell rings, you got to run again. Wow. So here's Jeremiah. And in the process, he is gone, and in being rejected, the rejection gets big and bigger and bigger and more and more. And Jeremiah, I'm going to ask Jeremiah, as it were, here. Jeremiah, did you ever pay attention to Job, the book of Job, which you had? Did you ever pay attention to the book of Job? And Job went through awesome personal things, and they didn't go away. And you know what? He looked to God, and he got all he had his down times, but he hung in there and looked to God. And Job is an encouragement to us, going through things, how we're treated or anything else. Job is an encouragement. And Jeremiah, are you encouraged? No, not yet, but he is. Hang on. Now, so having said that, so Jeremiah is persuaded and has been persuaded by God to get involved. Now, the word persuaded that we're looking at, the word in chapter 20 and in verse 7, derision, deceived, flattered, persuaded, enticed, there's our word in the Hebrew. Now, if I take that Hebrew word, it becomes a Greek word. And the Greek word, I'm going to go to that. Here's the same mood, Jeremiah, and I'm going to slide right along and see it again. Over, if you would, please. To the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, if I can. Chapter 16, going directly to verse 8. 16 and 8. And when he has come, he will reprove, convict and convince the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Of sin, and of sin singular, remember, they're condemned already because they don't believe in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they believe not on me, on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, there's the word believe. And that's from the verb to be persuaded. To be persuaded. Hebrew word, be persuaded. Slide along, be persuaded. Be persuaded. To be persuaded. We get our word faith, we get our word believe from this verb, to be persuaded. Now, therefore God, what is he doing? The Spirit of God is convicting everybody, all 7 billion plus of us in the world, convicting them of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's what he's doing. He's trying to persuade them. Jeremiah said, you have persuaded me that I ought to serve you because you're going to be my mouth, you're going to give me my words, you're going to take care of me totally. God, what are you doing? I'm trying to tell the world, I'm trying to persuade them to be saved, to believe. I'm trying to persuade them. Does anyone want to be persuaded? Now, having said that, John chapter 20, and remember the purpose of the 21 chapters of the Gospel of John, going directly, if I can, to verse 31. But these are written, 20, 31. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. There's believing twice, persuaded. They're persuaded that you might believe. You might be persuaded that you might be persuaded. And the verse again, and that you believe, and that believing and having been persuaded, you might have eternal life. Jeremiah, you have been able to do an exceedingly awesome ministry to the nation of Israel, Judah, because of God. Wow. Now, having said that, and you know, without turning there in Acts 16:31, believe on the, remember the jailer, Philippians jailer, he's in jail, and all of that. And what do you tell them, Paul, and them, what are you going to tell the jailer? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be persuaded about him. And you will be what? Saved. You take his persuasion of you and be persuaded. And you'll have the benefits of what God is after. God is trying to persuade you, be persuaded, and get the benefits. That's what Jeremiah did, and he didn't realize, he forgot how it was supposed to go, etc. And remember Isaiah and them 40 years and zero results. Now, so therefore, to get it, Romans. Romans and chapter 8. Pick up a thought, help us in the light of it, what we're thinking and understanding. Romans chapter 8. Now remember in it, verse 36, helping us in the light of all of this. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, what do you know about a bunch of sheep? Sheep in the pen, in the slaughterhouse, waiting to be what? Butchered. You are as counted as sheep in the slaughterhouse to be butchered. Is anyone there? That's your situation. God leaves us in the world like that. He leaves us like that. Jeremiah is getting down because he forgot. That's how you're in the world. I'm saving you out of the world. Wow. And now in the process, we're counted as sheep to the slaughter. But, Jeremiah, verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. So we're more than, over exceeding, above, beyond. More than conquerors. Conquerors only conquer for the moment, and then someone else conquers them. You're more than a conqueror. Jeremiah, you're a winner. All the way to the end. No one's going to get you. And it's true. Wow. So God, here we are looking, and you leave us in the world. We're counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet, we're more than conquerors. The world isn't a picnic. Being in this body isn't a picnic because you're aging and all the other things, and your mind and your heart and your old nature and your old nature with it, all of its evil and idolatry, which is inside of it. All of that is taking place all the time. You have to fight that. If the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, who can know it? Verse 38. For I am persuaded, there's your word, I have been persuaded. The result is passive. I have been persuaded. The result is I am persuaded. I have been persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am persuaded. Who persuaded you, Paul? God did. I let God persuade me on the Damascus Road. That's how I got saved. And God said, well, it's hard for you to kick against me, Paul. And Paul's Saul of Tarsus then. And he said, it certainly is. Isn't going to work. And therefore, he got saved. He was persuaded. God persuaded him. And thus, dear friend, in what are you telling us, Paul? That don't you understand? I was persuaded. You want to be persuaded if you're saved, that you're more than a conqueror through him that loved us. And you're sheep for the slaughter. You got an old nature. God doesn't make it go away. God doesn't make the world disappear. You're living in it. And it isn't, it's getting stickier and stickier in all kinds of different ways. Now, having said that, over if you would please to Timothy. 2 Timothy. And in 2 Timothy, picking up the thought, and you will notice, remember Timothy now, and this is Paul's last letter. He's going to lose his head, as it were, by Nero kind of thing. So here he is, and he's writing, and he says, as you would remember, in chapter 1, in verse 12, for which cause, I'm going to read, whereunto I am appointed, verse 11, a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. Jeremiah, you are appointed a prophet. You are a priest. You are appointed a prophet. Paul, you are appointed a preacher, apostle, and Gentiles. For the which cause I also suffer these things. You mean to serve God? It isn't a picnic? No, it isn't a picnic. No. For I suffer these things, nevertheless, I am not ashamed. Why not? For I know whom I have believed. Persuaded. I know who persuaded me. I know who persuaded me. God did. God gave his word. I listened, and God said, believe. And I did. I'm persuaded. I'm persuaded. Mm-hmm. For I know whom I have believed. I know whom I have believed. And in the process, perfect, I have believed, and I am believing, and am persuaded. And there's your word again in a little different form. I am persuaded. I have believed. I have been persuaded. I believe. I am being persuaded. I am persuaded. And believe and am persuaded. Being persuaded, I'm persuaded. Being giving money for McDonald's hamburger, I have money for McDonald's hamburger. I already have it. I've been persuaded, and I have it. I already got it. So what are you going to say, Paul? You're going to die. That's right. Verse 12. I am persuaded that he is able to keep, to God, to keep that which I've committed, deposited, like in the bank, unto him against that day. My soul, my substance, my society, my whole world. God, who's going to keep me? You are. Who's going to keep Jeremiah? God is. God isn't trusting the system. God isn't trusting Social Security. God isn't trusting Obamacare, Medicare, or anything else. God's trusting his wonderful person. God's trusting himself, and Jeremiah is trusting God, who's trusting himself. Wow. Now, so in the light of that, over to chapter 4. So Paul, you're going to give us some more help. I am. Interesting, the cycle all the time, you know, when you follow it. Interesting when you follow pieces, where it goes. Now, in chapter 4, and in verse 7, remember, Paul's writing the last letter. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And there's the word persuaded, another form, the word faith, believe. Persuaded. I have kept the faith. I have been persuaded, and what I've been persuaded about, I am hanging on to. And that's what Jeremiah is going to do. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all some that love his appearing. Wow. So we're looking to God. Paul, what are you going to tell us? You fought a good fight. I've been fighting. All the way to the end. Uh-huh. You're finished. You're done, though. You aren't going to go any further. No further. I'm all finished. But by the way, I didn't drop the football going down the field. I didn't lose it. I didn't fumble. I kept the football all the way to the end. When I scored, I kept the faith. And therefore, I'm looking for your imminent and marvelous return. Now, chapter 4. Verse 15, of whom, remember this is, he's closing, of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words, etc., opponent. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, everyone, Lord, what did you say? You guys are all going to disappear. Oh, we're going to go with you to the death. No, you aren't. No, you aren't. You're going to disappear. Uh-huh. Paul, what are you doing? I'm going to go and get my head cut off. Titus, where are you? Where are you, Timothy? Where are you guys? Luke, where are you? Paul said, listen, I'm all alone. I'm all alone. Wow, that's right. But be of good cheer, verse 17, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, of whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So Paul, what are you going to say? Listen, the Lord didn't disappear. Jeremiah, what are you going to say? God, you didn't go anywhere. You already told him. You already told Jeremiah. It's all right, all the way to the end. Be of good cheer. It's okay. It's okay. No problem. You're going to make it. And I'm with you. And as long as I'm with you, you're all right. As long as I'm for you. You don't want me against you. But if I'm for you, all the way to the end. Wow. So now, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, if you would, over to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. And you will notice in Hebrews chapter 4, picking up, please. And if I can, remember now the problem in helping, maturing, growing for believers in the New Testament. Therefore, the book of Hebrews is written in the light of the need to honor God without going to the law or something else, looking to God's word directly. And in doing so, in verse 15, chapter 3, while he said, "Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, when you tested him." Remember then Psalm 78 and that. "For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? They all died out there. Of whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not." They weren't persuaded. They weren't persuaded. They weren't. They weren't. And that's what they read. They flattered him with their lips. They had a false opening to receiving, but it really was closed. Not open at all. But they said it was open. They lied. Now, verse 19. "So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear lest the promise being left us of entering in to his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word," they had the word, all they had to do was receive it. God was trying to persuade them. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and what? And thou shalt be saved. He's trying to persuade you. Believe. Are you going to be persuaded, anyone? He that hath the Son hath life. Are you going to be persuaded? So it's open. Open. They had it. They had it. So God, you're referring back to Israel in the wilderness in order to come to where we are today, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. "The gospel was preached unto us as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them." Why didn't it profit them? Because they weren't persuaded. They weren't persuaded. Not being mixed with faith. Remember, faith is part of the package of being persuaded. The word, the box that it comes out of. Not being mixed with faith, believing, in them that heard it. Now, the word mixed with faith, to be mixed, perfect, to be mixed and stayed mixed. It means bring something, compound something together. To bring it all together. To bring what together? Your faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder, a payer in full of them that believe. We walk by faith and not by sight. All over the place. Well, wasn't it mixed? It wasn't mixed with faith. Here's God's word, and here's your faith. That's God's word in your hand. And your heart, faith, believe, reaching outside. Faith is always outside of you. That's why it's called faith. It's nothing to do with anything about you. You're willing to put all of your everything in something or someone else. You can put your faith in the train being on time. You can put your faith in the taxes being on time. You can do whatever. You don't make it. Faith says, "I believe God's word." And what does the word mixed mean? It means to be mixed together. The way to get that, understand that in the light of cow, not a cow, cows have stomachs and they put lots of stuff in, and then they can just sit and relax and chew, you know, and digest. Digest God's word, assimilate it into your system. The food that you ate today is in your system, and the part that your small intestine has absorbed is now in you. True? It has been mixed properly, digested. God's word needs to be digested by faith. Mixed in you. Mixed. So there's no way. Say you had a piece of food of some kind, a hamburger, and the hamburger is done whatever. Now, all the nutrients of the hamburger and that it can be absorbed is absorbed, and therefore, your hand, if we shake hands, you're going to shake hands with the hamburger. You're going to shake hands with the nutrients, aren't you? It's in you. It's part of you. God said that's what has to happen. It isn't mixed with faith. Be persuaded. God said, I want to persuade you. That's what he's doing. Persuade you by words. Will you be persuaded? And Jeremiah and all, that's what we have to learn. To be persuaded in a most wonderful way. So God, here we are looking to you, and God, you have to help us. That's all, because it's an awesome, simple thing. God, you mean what you say, and say what you mean, and you'll say it. We have to say things 1,000 times for many different reasons, but you only need to say it once, and you say it. And all of your promises, we just read them the other day, 2 Corinthians 1:20, all the promises of God in you are what? Yes and amen. That's what they are. There's no debate about them. There's no nay. No. All yes. Everything in Christ is yes. It's real. It isn't make-believe. It is no chance of it. You're going to be persuaded. Be fully persuaded. Paul, 2 Timothy 1:12, was fully persuaded. That's why he could go. So God, we want to learn from Jeremiah. I want to learn. And Jeremiah, I want to know. I don't want to sit there and beat Jeremiah up, which some would do. Jeremiah got discouraged. He did go through it, but not like they say, not at all. Jeremiah wasn't a coward. By the way, neither was Jonah. Jonah wasn't a coward at all. Anyone that would jump over the ship in the middle of the sea and know you're going to drown, I can't be too much of a coward. He just said, I'm not going to go with you guys, and therefore it's better for me to jump over the side. And he did. Jonah wasn't a coward. He just thought Nineveh was such a terrible place. God, Nineveh doesn't deserve anything. And you aren't supposed to be merciful to such people. But God is. God is. Wow.